Man, we gotta start using Apple Cash.
Okay, why?
It's so easy and convenient. Apple Cash lives in messages.
All right.
So I can pay you in the convos we're already having, not forget a payment, or have money sitting somewhere just collecting dust.
Oh, that is nice.
And then you can use that cash right away and buy stuff, like at a store, with Apple Pay.
I don't have to do all that bank transfer stuff?
Nope. It's just right there. Easy, convenient, and secure.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
See how easy that was? Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Kim Crawford Wines. Kim Crawford invites you to savor amazing with a chilled glass of New Zealand's finest, named in the Wine Spectator Top 100 list 4 times. Every sip of Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc is filled with tropical fruit flavors like passion fruit and citrus to help you experience golden hour how you see fit.
Visit KimCrawfordWines.com to learn more and find Kim Crawford Wine near you. Savor amazing. For those 21 and over, please savor responsibly. Constellation Imports, Rutherford, California. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
And welcome to, I guess, kind of part two. Man, me and my part, so many segments. Yes. Because this is an extended, we're going to talk a lot about board games forever because we love board games and we feel like we should be an open, welcoming, safe place for those who identify as non-binary, femme, whatever, to love board games, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know, and so therefore we will continually talk about them. But in this one, we're going to throw it back with our adventures here. I mean, throw it back to 1989. And I was thinking, first of all, I was around 9 when this came out, to date myself. But it was a couple of years. I had just come to the U.S. a couple of years before. So very new to this whole U.S. because I don't think there's any version of this game. I'm sure there's versions of dating games, but not this game in Korea. Maybe there was, because Hasbro bought it out, I think, in 1993. But originally it was with a different gaming company. But you were either a toddler or infant, or were you just born?
I was a year old at
okay,
this point.
Then. Yeah. I don't want to talk about this anymore. But yes. And we're talking about one of these games that I remember playing, but I never owned, because this is a rich girl, middle-class game that I was not a part of. Uh-huh. But my friends were, and they let me play this game. And honestly, while we were researching this, I remember the original board game, Girl Talk, which is Truth or Dare, and Annie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we might need to find that because I forgot about this one because there are dares, including calling boys on the phone. I remember this.
Oh, no.
And if you don't do it, you have to wear a zit on your face. Like, they have zit stickers. I would be shocked if I could find a complete set that actually has zit stickers because you went through those.
I did.
You did?
No. I mean, you went through the stickers. Yeah. I tried to find it.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, of course you did.
Because this is loosely based on, it was an episode of Monday Mini we did.
Yeah.
A year ago, maybe more, about these games we remembered from our childhood. And you mentioned a bunch, and then I purchased them as a gift to you.
Yes.
A wonderful gift.
So many.
but I remember I couldn't find Truth or Dare.
I would be shocked to find it. I remember there's also Phone. One, there's a phone book one where it's a shape of a phone and you have to, and I remember like my friend, I think, owned all of these games. She was an only child, very sweet, very spoiled, like got all the things. And this was her collection. So whenever I would go over, which was every weekend, we were very close friends. We would play these games. The zit one, yes, you ran out of stickers pretty quickly because there was a lot of things I would not do.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm imagining now I would just, like, try to find a, a friend of mine and call me like, hi.
Right. Oh my gosh. But yeah, so this is a part of those games. And the one we're talking about is Girl Talk Dateline, I think we've previously mentioned, which has to include a cassette player. And Annie and I were like frazzled looking around. I now forgot. And Annie actually bought me a damn cassette player, y'all. It threw back so hard. The rewind, fast forward button really, really had me tricked. Trying to like plug up the speaker, which we do have a video. The audio is so quiet.
Yeah.
That I think like y'all have to turn up the volume super, super loud because you had to like be in complete silence with our ears to the speaker to hear whether or not we had a date.
Yeah. So essentially it like came with a very interesting tech device, but it was like a little call box and you would plug that into the headphone auxiliary cable like space. But so at first we didn't think it was working because we couldn't hear anything. We turned the volume all the way up and you could barely hear it coming from it. So, yeah. It was quiet.
It was very quiet. We were both of us silent trying to figure out if we won.
Ears to the device, yeah.
But yeah, so this was one of those games. And apparently the Girl Talk board game was created by Catherine Rondeau. And I hope I said that right. I did not see the other games accredited to her, which I wouldn't doubt that they were, because Girl Talk in itself was a brand. They had a whole level. Apparently there was like Disney versions, including That's So Raven Girl Talk games. I saw this on the list. I don't know how recent that was. So if any of y'all had the Disney version, I think I outgrew it by this point, surprisingly. So if y'all had this, please let us know and let us know what these look like, because apparently there are 3 collabs with Disney shows. But yeah, before we talk about what we played and how it turned out, thought we would talk a little bit about the game. So this is a first player. This game is instructions, and there's so many articles, y'all. It says this: be the first player to match all your teen cards with dates, then find a date for yourself. The first player to get rid of all their teen cards by making dates wins. And in this, you are automatically assumed to be a woman who is heterosexual. Yes. So, you know, giant red flags here. So I went through and looked at different articles reviewing the game. It was kind of difficult, except for similar to what we've done, which is to review it ourselves. And everybody was like, this is really bad. This is really sexist. What the hell, essentially, was the comment in all of it. And yeah, so we have to go through the pictures, which we had a delightful giant game night with pretty much all iHeart people that came. And friend of the show, Eves, who you hear once a month with Female First, she went through these cards and was so excited to talk about the boys and girls that were the options. I feel like we missed out not having her here playing that with us because she was super excited.
Yeah, because it's like essentially these cards, just kind of like very short dating profiles that are like likes, ponies, soccer, dislikes, parties, Scott.
she really hates Scott, but yeah, she loves Scott.
No, I don't.
Inside. Well, that's spoiler alert.
Yeah, so they're very kind of comical, just brief interest and dislikes that you're supposed to be able to match a boy and a girl together based on those. And Eves was loving just reading the descriptions and looking at the pictures, because it is from the 80s. So, you know, the fashion, the looks have changed.
The fashion, the hobbies, like some of them include, what was it? Cheerleading, which is fine. The beach, jewelry, hate bugs, babysitting, gym class.
My favorite was there were like 2 clear nerds, and one, the dude nerd, loved bugs. And I was like, oh no, so I can't match with this person who hates bugs. It's just kind of comical.
It was quite funny. the whole level is absurd, but genuinely like concerning. And I will say, really simple. To the point that it was so simple that we thought we were doing it wrong.
Yeah, I think we like, there was one thing we got wrong, but we figured out later, which was what, like, where do you replace the cards. If your date fails, where do you put them back? And I think we kind of mixed that up at first, but we figured it out.
Yeah, we got there.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Kim Crawford Wines. Life is busy. There are so many things on your to-do list with so little time to do them. And you're always thinking about others' needs before thinking of your own. Trust me, we understand. Kim Crawford does too. That's why they're inviting you to experience Golden Hour, your chance to reclaim your time and laugh with your favorite people, play your favorite song on repeat, gaze outside your window and daydream about your wildest dreams, or celebrate your victories.
No matter the moment, you can savor it all with a chilled glass of New Zealand's finest. As the number one ranked Sauvignon Blanc in the U.S., Kim Crawford has classic aromas of lifted citrus, tropical fruit, and crushed herbs to help you stay in a golden hour state of mind. Because golden hour is more than just time, it's whenever you want to savor amazing. Visit KimCrawfordWines.com to learn more. That's KimCrawfordWines.com to find Kim Crawford wine near you. Savor amazing.
For those 21 and over, please savor responsibly. Constellation Imports, Rutherford, California. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect. And yeah, okay, like I said, we're not the only ones that were like, let's look back at these games and see what this seems like, or this, let's see what this is. This was from The Department, a podcast about trends, and they did a whole slumber party series. And a part of that is obviously if you're from the 80s doing the slumber parties, you're going to play these games, which also included Mal Madness, which was also on another list with Girl Talk about being problematic games, problematic sexist games.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, we talked about that too. It's bad. But in here, they do talk about both Girl Talk and the spinoff Girl Talk Dateline. And it says this, the game was such a hit, it spun off Girl Talk, Truth or Dare, was such a hit, it spun off into a travel edition and a Girl Talk Dateline. Quote, a game about the two things girls like best, talking on the phone and boys. And, you know, that's on the actual commercial, which is nonsense. There's no talk until the end, and that's what it says. It's ridiculous. Which was a super clunky and heteronormative game to match up your boy and your girlfriends, who were also extremely biased and all white. Using a clunky cassette tape, you matched up stale gender roles and reinforced caustic stereotypes. I mean, yes. Yes. Like, there's nothing you can really
argue in that.
Like, there's that level, and not only is it that way, but if you play it, your, I guess, announcer, your mediator, Tracy.
Yeah. The operator, yes.
Yeah, who apparently has a Wisconsin accent. Someone was like, oh, they're from, this girl's from Wisconsin. I was like, why do you know that? But okay. We'll tell you whether or not it was a match or not match. And usually says some sexist things in between, like, oh no, the girls are all talking, and woo, I thought he was going to have to date all of them. Type of thing, because they're all giggling in the background, which I'm not going to lie, I have had a moment where I'm with my friends and we were giggling in the background while talking to boys. So I can't say it's too far of a stretch.
She could be a little mean.
She was real mean to me, especially, I feel like. I was like, girl, back off.
I don't need this.
I don't need this in my life. I just got rejected. I don't need this from you, too.
I feel like for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, like, essentially you play this cassette tape and it's just running. And if it's like, if it runs out, you're supposed to flip it over, which younger listeners are probably like, the hell are you talking about? Flip it over and you start again. But like, you would put in your boy card and your girl card. The boys were yellow and the girls were pink.
You put them into that little stereo thing that they came with the game, and you'd wait to hear if they had a talk or not and whether or not it was a match. And then Tracy was the operator, and she'd be like, "What a turkey," or whatever.
Yeah, she did call somebody a turkey. That was my favorite.
She did. That was a great quote. I mean, it was mean, but okay. And that's how you, it just ran. Like, so you would just put in these little cards and see what happened. Or sometimes it would just be silent, which meant no match at all.
Yep. No match at all. And actually, there again, when we talked about other people playing it, the List magazine at thelist.com, they have an article called "Things You Only Notice About the Girl Talk Board Game as an Adult," and they do specifically talk about the Dateline game. The header was "Holy Stereotypes, Batman," and they write, "Girl Talk Dateline is what teenage dreams are made of. This game is all about setting your friends, also known as teen cards, up on dates and eventually finding a date for yourself. You can date virtually anyone through the magic of Girl Talk Dateline, and by anyone, I mean any painfully stereotypical caricature of a person." Each teen card has a picture of the friend you're setting up, as well as very specific descriptions of their likes and dislikes. Take Danielle, for example. She's an adorable brunette who loves perfume and pep club, but hates getting up early. Fair enough. Who loves getting up early to get to class? Oh, I bet Gert does. Gert is a nerd, y'all.
Yep.
Gert has horn-rimmed glasses, so obviously she loves algebra and Latin. Homer also wears glasses, loves computer club and collecting bugs, and hates sports and school dances. Mm-hmm. It's almost like Homer and Gert are a match made in stereotypical nerd heaven, but they're not, y'all. So there's a part in the game where sometimes the way their card slots, because that's how they get the voice, don't work at all, and that means it's a rejection. They were not a match. We tried.
Yes, there were some that didn't make sense. And according to the rules, basically you have characters that are just really likable, and so they're easier to match. Then you have characters that are more specific, in which case I thought, of course, Homer and Gert would be a match, but maybe it's an opposites attract case. But also, this is where my detestment for Scott came in, because you knew. They're basically, the cards are sort of split into four places. And then there's like a middle space where you do the blind date part. But I knew where Scott was, and I kept landing on his space. And I was like, he doesn't mash with damn anybody.
She's very mad about Scott, y'all. Very mad about Scott.
He was like the drama kid that was too cool, you know?
Yeah,
that was his vibe.
I know those people. But yeah, and in this article, they basically talk about that. And then they basically talk about how even imaginary boys are jerks, too. And I'm like, yeah, they surely are. How, again, it's whitewashed as hell. Because the one person that may be of color, you don't know, because they're very light skin or just tan, whichever it is.
Right.
And then they go on to talk about how girl talk is basically just boy talk. And they go on to say, just like the narrator in the creepy Girl Talk Dateline commercial says, Girl Talk Dateline is a game about the two things girl like best, talking on the phone and boys. That's right. Girl talk might be the name of the game, but boy talk is what it's all about. What do you think sleepovers were for? Telling scary stories and French braiding your friend's hair? You're such a Gert. I love this. Now call this imaginary boy and ask him on a date. Why? Don't leave Gert alone. Why you gotta be mean? Oh, they talk about how, yes, even in this game, the dudes are so boring. And then they said that the girl talk is more like girl talk dated. Get it? Because it's old. They say, remember burying time capsules filled with your favorite things, photos of yourself during childhood, hoping future generations or aliens would find them a billion years later and be totally impressed with how cool of a kid you were. Well, opening a Girl Talk board game is like opening a time capsule to your most embarrassing years. Feather bangs? A cassette tape? Did you just step into Narnia circa 1994? Kids these days would need a translator just to get through the game. What's this weird white brick thing with a cord? Oh, there's a phone, the corded phone. All of the 90s nostalgia aside, the makers of Girl Talk left no room for anything but heterosexuality. In Girl Talk, Dateline, the rules clearly state that only boys and girls can be matched, that they even color-coded the genders to make it easier. Boys are yellow and girls are pink. But don't get it twisted or you'll lose. And yeah, in that, Annie had to date a dude because that's you have a car that's supposed to be just has a heart on it.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be representing you. And who did you end up matching with, Annie?
Scott. Damn it. Damn Scott. It's a friends to enemy, but it was a friends to enemy because I thought he'd match. And then it was just an enemy. And then I ended up with him.
Oh,
but I won.
Oh, man. You won twice, but the first one time she really tried to trick me by handing her card dates. And I was like, why? We couldn't understand what Tracy was saying. It wasn't like, because we were like, yeah. I don't know if she's saying trade off or she said something else.
It sounded like it was like past the date, but it was not that. It was essentially like, put it
next
back.
Turn.
Yeah.
But like, we were just like, what? What's happening, Tracy? What's happening?
That Tracy.
That Tracy.
This podcast is brought to you by Kim Crawford Wines. Life is busy. There are so many things on your to-do list with so little time to do them. And you're always thinking about others' needs before thinking of your own. Trust me, we understand. Kim Crawford does too. That's why they're inviting you to experience Golden Hour, your chance to reclaim your time and laugh with your favorite people, play your favorite song on repeat, gaze outside your window and daydream about your wildest dreams, or celebrate your victories.
No matter the moment, you can savor it all with a chilled glass of New Zealand's finest. As the number one ranked Sauvignon Blanc in the U.S., Kim Crawford has classic aromas of lifted citrus, tropical fruit, and crushed herbs to help you stay in a golden hour state of mind. Because golden hour is more than just time, it's whenever you want to savor amazing. Visit KimCrawfordWines.com to learn more. That's KimCrawfordWines.com to find Kim Crawford wine near you. Savor amazing.
For those 21 and over, please savor responsibly. Constellation Imports, Rutherford, California. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And then there's this article that has a pretty large scale conversation about the problems with these games and how really dangerous it is. And also, again, how heteronormative and erasing of any culture whatsoever. And it's from analoggamestudies.org, and it's from 2015. So all these, by the way, all these articles, I think the earliest one is like 2020, 2022, or the newest one, because it's still, this is a really old game, y'all, and it's not aged well.
Yeah.
But the title of it is Queering Girl Talk, the board game. And just talking about how like problematic these games were in so many ways. And in it, they say, Girl Talk is the sociopolitical product of a discourse around female empowerment that characterized the mid-1980s. Following the perceived relatively success of feminism's second wave, women entered the workforce in record numbers. The resulting challenge of reconciling career with familial obligations became a pressing and topical issue. Girl Talk reconciled this problematic by promising a natural balance between heterodomesticity and the workplace through its career cards. In fact, a career is ostensibly a good place to find a husband.
Mm.
One card reads, after 3 weeks on your first job as a profession, quote, you know, profession, you'll meet the man that you'll eventually marry. Yet family does not necessitate the abandonment of career aspirations. One card reassures the winner, you will have children early in the life, followed by a successful career in whatever state. In Girl Talk, girls are reassured that they will have simultaneous access to both the workplace and the domestic space. The career path available in the game, and it reflects the importance of physical beauty. So yeah, like all of these things. And then they go on to say, if then this game can be seen as a not so subtle attempt to instill heteropatriarchal values and reproduce emphasized femininity in a generation of upper middle class girls, what value remains in critically reflecting on it? The answer is found in experience. While Girl Talk is a product that is branded as having a very narrow applicable market, its very nature as a game relies on play and meaning-making that exists within the ephemeral confines of the interactive experience. Girl Talk is performed the moment of its playing, and the game is equally constituted by the game's mechanics, structure, and the players. And they keep going on about how this, like, we have to have a conversation about the depth of what these games do in perpetuating heteronormative stereotypes and being said, this is normal. And this is how you win. And literally, you win by prizing their feminine attributes, beauty, a malleable personality, and cheerful subservience. So they even talk about the fact that the career cards involve acting or modeling or both. And so yes. Different things like that, and how, you know, you have to find a career like that. You have to find a husband. And then you also have to be balancing these things because you are the woman. And so in the early 80s, you're like, that's fine if you want to work, but understand housework is still your responsibility as well.
Right. And definitely a lot of the hobbies and the one we played were very gendered. Like, it would be like, she loves going to the mall. He hates shopping. Like,
she loves talking on the phone. He hates talking on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, the
yes.
They were the opposites of each other. But yeah, so obviously, yes, these games reinforce these ideas. And it's also part of the dream. Like that, and we're going to talk about it actually very soon, was kind of that beginning of the teen magazines, where we had heartthrobs and guys that we were so coming after. Hello, Jonathan Taylor Thomas for a bit of a second, as well as, you know, Jonathan Brandis, who RIP I loved dearly growing up. So having this type of culture really did instigate this fantasy life of this is what the dream is.
Yes. And I will say I had a fun time playing it. It was funny because we were like, obviously,
there was a lot of
mocking
stress.
It largely. There was some stress involved, but it was funny. But, it, you know, as a kid, I do think it's interesting. Some of the points you've made from these articles, these quotes, is that when you play it when you're young, it does reinforce like an idea of, okay, this is what everybody else seems to be into, so I'm into it. But it also can just be fun. Like, I'm not saying we shouldn't examine it and be like, here is the problems of it at all, because that does stick with you. And I think when I was a kid, I would see people get into this and I'd be like, okay, I should be into this. But there is kind of that space where you're all just sort of, like giggling and being like, oh, this is silly. Or like,
I think I remember fighting with the girlfriends about these games, though.
Oh,
we
geez.
Got into fights.
That can also
we got
happen.
Into teams.
Also.
But yes, we are going to do more of these adventures, including several of the games that Annie has given me. Mall Madness is going to be in there. Sweet Valley High.
Oh, I can't
Babysitter's
wait.
Club. Polite Society, which I don't know if we talked much about. I believe, was that an Etsy purchase?
Yes. I think that one's more of a, like, try to survive in a Jane Austen novel.
And I think that we're going to try to do that, as well as the fact that I just found out Margaret Killjoy, who is a friend of the show as well, did a whole RPG tabletop game.
Oh, cool.
I think we need to look into that, too. Bring her on and let her talk about that.
Yes. And Samantha will be on Margaret's show soon.
Yes, in the next couple of weeks. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we'll let you know what happens. We'll let you know what happens. But yes, these are really fun. I hope that you all enjoy them. And again, if you have any board game suggestions, tabletop suggestions at large, game suggestions at large, but also if you have any memories of these games, these very heteronormative games or aimed towards children, towards girls, please let us know, because, you know, we might find a way to play it and talk about it on the show. You can email us at stephmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok at Steph Never Told You. We might post that video. We'll try
to find it.
We'll see of us playing this. We have a TeePublic store and we have a book you can get wherever you get your books. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Steph I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This podcast is brought to you by Kim Crawford Wines. Kim Crawford invites you to savor amazing with a chilled glass of New Zealand's finest, named in the Wine Spectator Top 100 list 4 times. Every sip of Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc is filled with tropical fruit flavors like passion fruit and citrus to help you experience golden hour how you see fit.
Visit KimCrawfordWines.com to learn more and find Kim Crawford Wine near you. Savor amazing. For those 21 and over, please savor responsibly. Constellation Imports, Rutherford, California. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.